I'm thinking this morning of the blessing of mercy. None of us would be here this morning if it were not for the great mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Were it not for His mercy and looking down upon a people that were in a need that we could not find a solution to on our own, all that are here today would have lives that would be very, very different. But because of Jesus, we, every single one of us, can have hope of eternal life, of purpose, of security, of grace. When we run out of strength that maybe we feel like we have on our own sometimes, and I think a lot of times the Lord helps us in ways we don't ever realize. But when we get into those places, we serve a God who cares. And He's a merciful God. And He's a God of mercy that I have an idea that we don't yet understand. And this morning, by the help of the Lord, I'm interested in giving consideration to this key tenet of Christianity. And that is the value and necessity of mercy, both to give, both to extend mercy and to receive it. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, Jesus opens the Sermon on the Mount with what are called the Beatitudes. And those are a series of statements that describe the blessed life, the blessed life. And the fifth Beatitude says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Maybe we could go ahead and turn there and read. Maybe in fact we'll start at the second verse. Matthew 5 and 2 says, "And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And it goes on, and it has a few others that the Lord outlined here. Before thinking about the act and principle of mercy, I'd like to first understand what He means when He says blessed, because He said it a whole bunch of times. A number of times here He started off saying blessed are. Blessed has the general meaning of being happy, being joyful. Now, this is not a happiness or a joy that's derived from getting to eat your favorite ice cream or from riding in a fast car. That's not the kind of blessedness that the Lord is talking about here, but rather it's a spiritual blessedness. It's a divine satisfaction that comes from a favor or a gift that's bestowed by God. And some of the most basic needs of the human spirit is to be blessed by God. We were speaking in Sunday school a little bit about trying to go and find the answer to our need, and people across the world are spending their lives endeavoring to satisfy a very basic human need that you can't find at Walmart. You can't find it at the boat store. You can't find it with an expanded bank account. And the Lord designed it that way. He designed us with a gap that only He can fill. And He outlines the way to find a state of blessedness, an experience of a blessed life that He desires for every one of us. Well, I'd like to now consider the meaning of mercy. What does mercy mean? I've written down some dictionary definitions. Mercy is responding to a human need in a sometimes unexpected and unmerited way. Mercy is often, by definition, not deserved. If you were just to mete out what we had coming to us based on our behavior, based on our decisions, then it wouldn't likely fall into the category of what you might get when mercy is extended to you. Unmerited, unexpected favor. Now, if your enemy pushes you off a precipice, and by chance on your way over, you drag them with you, and you're both hanging there by your fingernails, and you realize that the only way to save yourself is to save him too, well, that's not really probably mercy. That's more like self-preservation. That's not mercy. Mercy is giving relief from suffering when you have the capacity to do the opposite. Treating people with kindness and forgiveness, not cruel and harsh. You know, some folks need to be approached with greater care than others. Have you found that? You know, some people are easily hurt. Some people are easily offended. Some people aren't easily entreated. And there are those that tend to more quickly strike out at you than other people do. And sometimes our natural tendency would be to say, well, that's their problem. Have you ever thought that? I'm sure I've thought that before. Well, that's not my problem, that's their problem. But it can become our problem. It can become our problem if we don't carry the right spirit within us to help those that are in need. They have a need. And sometimes those are the very people that need somebody to show them a different way. And how better to show people a different way than to be on the receiving end of something that's not very pleasant. Mercy is showing compassion. Showing compassion. There's a story about during World War II. And there's a story of an American fighter whose plane was barely able to fly. It was shot up in a very bad way. Full of holes, engines on their last leg, and they were in enemy territory. And the folks in the plane were hurt and wounded and in trouble. And they were trying to get home. And there was a German fighter that came up on that plane and looked at the plane and saw what was going on. And he had compassion. And instead of shooting the plane down, instead of recognizing the vulnerability which was there, could have done it, it was justified. They were at war. It's justified from a war standpoint. They'd just been shot at. Could have shot him down and had a lot of reasons why it was the right thing to do. But instead, he looked over there and he saw some people in trouble. His enemy in trouble, trying to make it home. And you know what he did? He got up beside the plane and he served as an escort to help that plane get into a safe area where that plane could land. And the story goes, you can look it up, the story is told for truth, that years later, those two pilots were able to reconnect with each other. You think that American pilot ever forgot that? You think it changed his life? You think that act of mercy changed his life? Yeah, it changed his life. He was hanging in the balance of life and death. Do you know sometimes, folks, that there are people that are hurt and they're just trying to get home? And their life is in the balance. And many times we don't recognize the needs of the people that pass our way. Often we misinterpret. We misinterpret and begin to think that they're our enemy. Maybe when they strike out at us, when things don't go the way we think that it ought to go, it's easy to take personally. But it just might be that your act of compassion can change the rest of their life, if you will. I wonder sometimes why we are so inclined to shoot judgment at people. They're just trying to get home. And I want to say this morning, just to be clear. I'm not speaking this morning of just let everybody live however they want, be accepting of it. You live how you want, I'll live how I want. Let's just everybody live how you will. Let's not condemn any actions. I'm not speaking this morning of having a righteous understanding of unrighteousness and holding the truth. I'm not talking this morning about calling good evil and evil good. That's not my message. I agree, fully supportive of all of that. This morning, my burden is that we learn mercy, that we learn how to lift people up, that we be willing to take those extra steps to give people another opportunity to be successful, another opportunity to feel the love of God, maybe through the very one that has been wronged. Well, I think that we all want to receive mercy when needed, and I think this morning that we all buy into the fact that we should show mercy. And yet, why is it that sometimes it seems like this thing of showing mercy is so elusive? Have you ever experienced that? Do you know it's a whole lot easier to tell somebody else to have mercy on somebody than it is for you to have mercy? These things are easier to read about than they are to put in practice. There's reasons why sometimes mercy is elusive, and one of them is this thing called sense of justice. You know that we all have varying degrees of how strong our sense of justice is. But when our sense of justice gets offended, that's one of the reasons sometimes where we begin to feel like that this person over here is unworthy. They've crossed the line too many times and they need to know where they stand. Can't give mercy too quick or they might not realize that they have failed. You ever thought that before? They need to feel some pain before they feel anything good. And I'm going to help them feel some pain for a while before I give them any relief. Well, may the Lord help us in those areas. It seems like that when people, when they fly their plane into our territory and we're the ones that are injured, those are the times where mercy can be elusive. And it seems like that often the very reasons that create the opportunity to show mercy, to show compassion, to show pity to other people are often the very exact same reasons that cause us to feel ill will. Not always, but many times. I think of King David, or it wasn't king at the time, it was King Saul and David. David had every reason to strike out at Saul. Saul was after him. He was trying to take his life. And yet David showed mercy. And I think about Jesus. No greater example than Jesus Christ in showing mercy. What? Did you know that Jesus came to give us an example of how He wanted us to live? And yet, some of the things that Jesus experienced, if we are to experience those things, it's a lot harder than just to read about it. Have you ever had blood drawn from you? Maybe not literally, but figuratively. Has anybody ever drawn blood with how they've treated you? If you've lived very long, they have. We get hurt in life sometimes. Hurts are real. Offenses are real. There were men pounding nails in Jesus' hands, and yet He was able to pray, "Father, lay not this sin against the charge." I think about Paul. Paul was persecuting Christ's bride. Have you ever thought about that? The church. And yet there came a day when God, in His great mercy, was willing to forgive it all and give him another chance. Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends, closest companions. Peter was one of the ones that if there was somebody there that Jesus wanted to be able to count on, he was the one that said, come on to me. Step out into the water. Walk on the water. And Peter got out and Jesus allowed him to walk on water. This was before the crucifixion. He did so much with Peter. And yet, Peter was a human being. And Peter failed. And not only did he fail, but he did it seemed like, in the worst way. He denied his friend, Jesus. He betrayed him. Not once, not twice, but three times he betrayed Jesus. Have you ever been betrayed by your friend? That's where the hurts can get so difficult. And yet, Jesus Christ showed us what true love was. I think, like, the strange thing is that we struggle the most with those that are closest to us, don't we? Well, maybe it's not that strange. Those that are closest to us can cause us the greatest hurt. Those that we work closely with at work, day in and day out, family members, your spouse, brother and sister at church, those that we worship with, that's where some of the greatest hurts can come from. Are those that are closest to us. And I think sometimes that, well, I don't think sometimes, I think this can often be the case where we can take for granted the positive attributes of those that are close to us. Our spouse is probably one of the easiest ones to take for granted if we're not real careful. They can do so many things right. Take care of us in so many ways, and then we can start taking it for granted. And not recognize it as we should, as such a wonderful blessing in our life. But then when there's a gap, when there's a stumble, when there's a little bit of a failure, when there's room for improvement, sometimes we don't give the room that we ought to. You know, that's a tough spot to be in, where everything that you do well is taken for granted, and then you're given no opportunity to grow in the areas that you need help in. Sometimes people do things and we say, well, they should have known better. And sometimes they should have known better. Nevertheless, we're left with a choice. We can either become disenfranchised, or we can dig deep. We can dig deep and show mercy. Jesus said, the scripture teaches us, Jesus said, if you love them that love you, what thank have you, or what reward have you? What really have you done? If you just having mercy and loving those that love you, and there's not really any kind of a difficult place there, and they're you're getting something out of it too, well, what kind of reward is that? He said, do not the publicans and the sinners do the same? And you know, I think often that if we only understood all of the elements that were involved with other people's behavior, we would be more apt to have mercy on other people. But we don't. And we misunderstand those that we know best. We misunderstand those that we know best. They're different people. They process information differently than we do. As much as sometimes maybe we would like to change somebody and have them think the same way we think, they don't. And it's probably a real good thing most of the time. But if we don't understand people always that we know best, how possibly can we understand those that we don't know as well? And yet sometimes we're so ready to issue judgment and criticize and not leave people room because we judge people according to our own point of view. Isn't that what we do? I mean, do we often judge people according to their point of view? No, I mean, it's just human nature. When I look at situations, I evaluate according to the way I think. Not the way you think, it's according to the way I think. Unless we pause and try to put ourselves in their shoes. And even when we try to do that, we can't possibly understand where people are. And we can sit in our air-conditioned homes in the comfort and then look out the window at somebody laboring in 100-degree weather and wondering, well, why didn't they talk a little nicer to that guy next to them just now? And they've been out there for 8 hours. Well, you're not where they are. You're not feeling what they're feeling. And yet we judge people according to our own circumstances or our own perceived thoughts on what their circumstances are. We really don't know where they're at oftentimes. That's why the Lord, He sits back and He encourages us, leave that part to me. Be merciful. I know how to do righteous judgment. No one's going to get away with anything. I'll tell you that this morning. No one's going to get away with anything they shouldn't be getting away with. God's got it covered. You've been wronged. It's really bad. It just won't stop. The Lord knows. No one's getting away with anything. But we have a responsibility to show mercy. God wants us to be in the place where we're willing to turn some of that over to Him. That's the role He plays. I don't think that we're going to be in a very good position at the judgment to say, well, Lord, I would have treated him differently if I'd have known the story better. Exactly. That's the reason why God wants us to back off a little bit. And I just want to encourage everybody today that let's give people space. Let's give people room to grow. Let's allow people room where we don't understand. Again, I'm not talking about promoting sin and living unrighteous and everybody just comes to an agreement. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing what we can to lift people up. Do what we can to show love in a way that can help somebody that may be in need. And recognize that sometimes people are in situations that if only we understood where they were in, our judgment would be completely different. And because I'm not going to know all the time, most of the time, may God help me to be a Christian in how I treat them. What are some of the consequences of not showing mercy? Didn't Jesus teach us, judge not that ye be not judged? For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. Are you comfortable with that? That has stopped me in my tracks. If you want to judge somebody, okay, as long as you're okay to be judged that way too. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. I didn't write it. Those were Jesus' words. And it gets close. And you know the other thing that strikes me is that, and I've been guilty of, I guess maybe that's why I learned this, because I've been guilty of it. Some of the very things that we judge other people about, we're doing the same thing. Just got a little different clothes on. It just looks a little different. Maybe it's in a little different forum, or it's a little different situation, but it's really kind of the same thing. And Paul in Romans, the second chapter in the first verse, he used pretty strong language about that. He said, thou art inexcusable, O man, the judgest, for thou the judgest condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, you're doing the same thing. Have you ever met someone that's just a really happy person? They're always on top of the world. And they're also the most critical person you've ever met in your life. Have you ever met that person? Do you want to be happy in life? Do you want the blessings of the Lord? Let's give people some space. Let's show people some mercy. If we want mercy, it changes people's lives. Yes, we'll see vulnerabilities. Why is it in human nature? You look in the animal kingdom and they'll strike. They see a vulnerability, they strike on it. And it seems like human beings, sometimes people, it almost, they feel like that it makes them look better if they can make somebody else look worse. If they could get somebody pushed down, sometimes it makes people feel like that somehow it lifts them up. And so when we see vulnerabilities in other people, sometimes our natural reaction is to exploit it, take advantage of it. That doesn't do me any good. Folks, we're just trying to get home, aren't we? Aren't we just trying to make it home and land safely? Brothers and sisters here today, Why are we here? That question was asked this morning. Why are we here? What did we come for? Don't we just want to get home? Don't we just want to help others that are in need make it home? Don't we all have needs where we need to have mercy shown to us? What are the benefits of mercy? Well, this verse, the seventh verse that we read, that's a pretty big one. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you want the Lord to be merciful to you? Show mercy. There's liberation in mercy. It's liberating to forgive somebody from the heart. It's liberating. It's like a load's not just taken off the person that maybe needs mercy. It's a load that's taken off our shoulders. And when you show people mercy, it allows them another chance. There's more fulfillment in their life. And maybe it allows them the opportunity to get up and go do something that they otherwise wouldn't have done. In 1 Timothy, the first chapter, Paul was speaking and he was talking to Timothy. You can turn to it and read it. Maybe about the 13th verse. And he was talking about the man that he used to be. He wasn't a good man. Paul was a bad man. He was a bad man, but the Scripture says, but I obtained mercy. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious to people. It was a bad situation. My life wasn't going well. I was the chief of sinners. However, nevertheless, but I obtained mercy. And it changed my life. My life is forever changed because when I was a blasphemer, when I was injurious to other people, when I was a persecutor, but God in heaven, He gave me mercy and it's changed my life. And he went on and he said that he was the chief of sinners and that perhaps he would be an example of those that follow. That if you today, if you ever feel like you're in the place where you failed too many times, the chief of sinners has already made it into heaven. He was able to have the testimony, but it's not the end of the story. But I obtained mercy. Can't preach this message without saying this. If you are here this morning, and the devil has something that he's been hanging over your head, if you have sin in your life, If you've done wrong repeatedly, if you've gone so far as to persecute good people, blaspheme, be injurious, do things that are not pure, do things that are against the will of God, completely holy and are sinful, the good news this morning is there is mercy from the throne of grace. Jesus Christ came to bring us mercy that we can have a testimony that yes, that was in my old life. However, but I obtained mercy by Jesus Christ. And we can have a life that is forever changed. We can have peace in our heart, peace in our soul. We can go forward with new life. Look at the difference Paul has made in all of our lives. Because he obtained mercy. We read all of these wonderful verses and books in the Bible that challenge us and encourage us and get down where we live. Why? Because he obtained mercy. May God give us a vision that some of those that we may have a hard time showing mercy to, perhaps they are somebody that down the road, if we will be willing to show them mercy, it'll change their lives too. Here's the hard part. Is it always easy to show mercy? It's not. Is it as easy as saying, well, I heard the man say to have mercy, so I guess I'll have mercy on you. I wish. There are some things that we are able to forgive out of the goodness of our heart, and God puts the goodness in our heart. I'll say that. But there are other things, folks, that take divine grace and strength from the throne of God to allow us to be able to have mercy. To get over some of the hurts that we have experienced. having mercy sometimes involves getting low before the Lord. It takes longer than one prayer sometimes. Sometimes it takes days. Sometimes it takes weeks. Sometimes it may take months. You say, well, brother, you must not be saved if it takes that long. There's some hurts that hurt deep. And the Lord has some things for you to learn in the process, the journey of getting forgiveness. The key is don't ever accept it. When you feel something towards somebody that you know shouldn't be, the key is you may not feel in a state of showing mercy, but don't ever accept it and say, well, that's just the way it is. Go to battle. Go to resisting the devil. Go to prayer. Get down low before the Lord and don't give up until you obtain victory. The Lord has some victories for us. But know that sometimes we're going to have to get low before the Lord. We're going to have to humble ourselves before God to be able to show mercy. But it's the right thing to do. Sometimes we have to get in front of the mirror and take a real long look at ourselves and recognize our own great need, which then helps us be more merciful to those that also have need. When we recognize the need that we have in our own lives. Well, Jesus has forgiven us of so much. God has been so good to every one of us here this morning, and He asks that we endeavor to do the same for other people. Our lives have been immeasurably changed because of the mercy of God. May God help us as Christians to recognize the value of showing mercy to other people. To show mercy to others as we would have the Lord show us mercy. Well, that's my little message this morning. I pray that you would keep me in your prayers, because I want to be able to know how to show mercy in a greater way. I want to be true. I want to be faithful. I want to be a help to those that are hurting. Again, we're just trying to get home safely. We're going to get hit along the way. We're going to get injured along the way. But you know, with each other, with each other's help, with each other's support, when maybe we fall, when we take a wrong turn, when we make maybe an avoidable, what should have been an avoidable error, if we'll work together as a people of God and hold each other up, be willing to show mercy, give space, give room, allow for absence of understanding where everybody's coming from, and look to God for the help that He has to give us, I believe we'll be in a much better place. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen. Yeah.